By and by I was invited to supply at a little chapel in Liverpool in Matthew Street, if I recollect right. Upon one particular time when I was there, I was led out in a very sweet manner in meditation upon these words, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:38-39. Oh, thinks I, what a time I shall have. I hope there will be in the chapel full. But when the time came I read my text, I was so shut up in such darkness and confusion overwhelmed me that I could not tell what to do. All the sweet things that had so pleased me were fled away. I had hard stammering to keep on speaking that God had always loved his own, and that neither sin nor the devil could ever separate them from his love. I kept repeating it for about 25 minutes, and then gave it up all at once and said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." As soon as ever I could get down out of the pulpit, I took my hat and through the chapel I went as hard as ever I was able, and determined to take the first coach in the morning and go home, for I verily believe that if ever I were to show my face again there, the people would cry open shame upon me. As soon as I got out of the chapel, I went with all the haste I could to my lodging, afraid to look at anybody or that anybody should look at me, calling myself a thousand fools for ever coming to the place, and wishing that I had never opened my mouth, for I thought it was now plain and evident that the Lord had left me. Thus I went on, out of one street into another, but I observed that a woman kept close after me for some time, which I could not make out. I tried to evade her, but could not. At last she stepped up to me and said, "Pray, sir, are not you the minister that has been preaching in Matthew Street Chapel tonight?" I verily thought the woman had followed me when she spoke of my preaching to reprove me for my presumption in attempting to preach. I told her, but so crossly that I could hardly bear myself, that I was the man who had been in the pulpit and attempted it, but there had been no preaching. On this, the poor woman fell into a flood of tears and hoped that I would pardon her for taking the liberty to speak to me, for she was not worthy, but she could not help following me to tell me that she had reason to bless God that she had been there, for I had been preaching to her, and such preaching too as she had never heard before. At this my soul was melted within me, and I asked her what it was she heard that was so sweet to her. She spoke with such sweetness, humility, and confidence that she had received the pardon of all her sins. "For," continued she, "I have been for months nearly in black despair, and was going this very night to the water to drown myself, being determined to try the worst of it, for I believed I could never be in a worse hell. As I was going by the chapel, they were singing, and it struck my mind to turn in. When the service was concluded, I thought it would be dark, and then I could go to the water unperceived. So I went in, and blessed be the Lord, the text and all you said came into my heart. And God told me he had loved me with an everlasting love, and that my sins, though many, were all forgiven, and many more precious things which quite overcame me with wonder and adoration to the God of all my mercies." My heart was too full to talk much with the poor woman, for I felt my very soul so melted down at the dear feet of a precious Jesus for giving testimony to the word of his grace through such a worthless pipe, that I was not for going home now, but was willing to be anything or nothing that God might be glorified. And oh, how sweetly the old text came, "Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. What a sweet night I had in meditating upon the Word of God. Promise upon promise flowed in so fast that it appeared to me the whole Bible was full of them. Oh, how sweet and precious were these words of Paul. It has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21. Well, cried I, and why should it displease me? Then, oh, what blessed confidence I had that God had sent me to the work. And now I had a full testimony, and I really believed it was out of the power of the devil ever to shake my confidence again. My soul was for a time kept in sweet confidence that God was with me and would ever go before me, though in such trials and temporal things that I did not know how to get bread from day to day. But when God gives peace, who or what can give trouble? The Lord went on to give testimony to the word of His grace from my poor mouth, and made it manifest that He was with me by signs following. This was established and comforting to my soul, for I verily believe that if God had not owed my poor labors in delivering souls from bondage into liberty, I must have given it all up. But the Lord saith, a true witness delivereth souls. Proverbs 15 verse 25.